This podcast is brought to you by Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Do what I did and update your smile. Call 844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. When you change your smile, you change your life.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
It's absolutely essential that we get our kids back into classroom for in-person learning.
We want to reopen the schools. Everybody wants it. The moms want it. The dads want it. The kids want it. It's time to do it.
The president tweeted out this morning, threatening schools nationwide that he'll try to cut funding if they refuse to reopen on time.
So we're very much going to put pressure on governors and everybody else to open the schools. Open your schools in the fall.
It's great to learn because knowledge is power.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
President Trump has made clear, and it's backed by science, that it's really important to get students back into school.
I feel very strongly we need to do whatever we can to get the children back to school.
I want to make it very, very clear that the guidance that CDC continues to put out for schools K through 12 and higher is intentional for reopening and keeping our schools open. What is not the intent of CDC's guidelines is to be used as a rationale to keep schools closed.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
It's all about creating division. They literally say it on state TV. It's coming for you next.
Democratic cities are in chaos right now. Is this what you want from Joe Biden? And they're taking down the statues. And
crime is rising as they defund police.
Oh my gosh, it's so bad.
What do Democrats have to offer us? Failed experiments like CHOP, failed cities like Chicago, New York City, where you've had for 3 weeks a many-fold increase in shootings. This is what leftist policies have gotten us.
Unchained and unstoppable.
This guy's whole idea of America on its own.
No. Lie down before you hurt yourself.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Coming soon to a newspaper or a TV channel near you, why Joe Biden shouldn't debate. And no, it's not for the real reason he shouldn't debate, because he can't remember what day of the week it is, or where he is, or what state he's in. It's because Donald Trump won't release his taxes. And Donald Trump won't agree to have a fact checker spend the last 20 minutes of the debate fact checking him, but not Joe Biden. That's what the New York Times wants. They wrote a column today saying that. So again, they're trying to give Joe Biden an excuse to remain in the basement with the door locked from the outside. That's the latest news from the campaign trail.
He wants his own fact checker. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Again, Joe makes a few mistakes when he's... Joe said today that the police are the enemy and that they should be about protecting people in the neighborhoods, not
surplus military equipment for law enforcement. They don't need that. The last thing you need is an up-armored Humvee coming into a neighborhood. It's like the military invading. They don't know anybody. They become the enemy. They're supposed to be protecting these people. So my generic point is,
but
that...
do we agree that we can redirect some of the funding?
What does up-armored mean, by the way? Up-armored.
Protecting. All we're trying to do is protect you, Joe. You should not debate. It won't be good. It will be a bloodbath for sure. I mean, you've mentioned a lot of reasons why it will be bad, but let's also not forget Donald Trump will be up there actually asking him real questions. That's what Donald Trump does. If the Chuck Todds of the debate will not ask the questions that need to be asked, Donald Trump will say, wait, why don't you ask him this, that, and this? And that's what they really don't want.
Can you imagine who would be asking the questions? You'd have Chuck Todd, who used to be a Democrat operative for a Democrat senator from Iowa. You would have Stephanopoulos, who used to be in the Clinton bimbo eruptions unit.
You know, you'd have Rachel Maddow. You'd have Andrea Mitchell.
Yeah, you'd have Fredo Cuomo.
Andrea Mitchell, who's Hillary Clinton's favorite reporter. Yes. You're my kind of woman, Andrea.
Yeah. And you just heard in the intro, Fredo Cuomo and Don Lemon last night on CNN saying, This all this talk about the crime in the cities, that's just Republican agitprop.
Talking points.
Yeah, there's a New York City. Ah, I love New York. The Big Apple.
It sounded like they were talking about the credulous boomer rubes. And their problem with the credulous boomer rubes now is that we're pointing out facts that they do not like. But that's not all they talked about last night, Howie. I really think the combo of Don Lemon and Fredo Cuomo is truly something I've never seen. Because when it comes to making idiotic points, I thought Mika and Joe really had it down. I thought they were the duo to beat. But now it seems like when you put those two on a split screen, it boggles the mind how, first of all, anyone's watching. According to the ratings, no one is watching. But if someone happens to be at an airport and has to sit through that,
right?
God bless you, as Joe Biden would say.
Or you slashed your wrist somehow and you're in the hospital emergency room and you're waiting to be treated.
You went in because you had a cut.
I think the hospital emergency rooms also get a huge percentage of the CNN overall audience, along with the airports.
Well, half of what they're doing is, you know, making people panic about vaccines and stuff. So I'm sure, you know, it all ties in. But I want to play Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo talking about Mount Rushmore and who they think should be added to Mount Rushmore. This is Cut 22.
A rich diversity of people helped to build this country. And many of us, meaning our ancestors, for free, did not get paid for it. Could not get an education, could not build wealth, or not on statues, Confederate or otherwise, or not on Mount Rushmore. I think, listen, this is gonna, people are gonna get, pick this up. If they're gonna put someone on Mount Rushmore, considering the history of this country, the first black president should be front and center.
Add to Mount Rushmore. Look,
I think we should rename the Tappan Zee Bridge.
Yeah.
after Barack Obama. Oh, that's right. We've already renamed it after Fredo Cuomo's brother. His father, I should say.
This is what makes me laugh, is that people think, oh, well, I won't care if they rename, you know, a Confederate Army base, or I don't care if they take down a statue of Robert E. Lee. That doesn't bother me, you know? What about when they come to you and they say, hey, Taylor Cormier, I think your last name, it offends me. You will now be known as Taylor X. It's going to start to affect everyone. Everyone's lives are now going to be something you're doing or some part of you offends me. We're going to erase it until we're all going to be wearing like the same outfit and we're all going to be walking around and we're all going to be buying one kind of deodorant.
It'll be like the Great Leap Forward in China.
This is how socialism starts. They start erasing things and telling you this is all you need to know.
You know the last name thing is already happening, right?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, it's happening all over the country.
What I want to know is when Don Lemon says Confederate or otherwise are not on Mount Rushmore, which of those four guys is a Confederate? Washington, Lincoln...
Well, they'd say Washington and yeah, because he owned slaves, obviously, but he wasn't around for the Confederacy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
The woke police are coming for everyone and everything. And one story that it broke this weekend, but we didn't really get to talk about it too much, was Halle Berry, because she got into a little bit of trouble. And I just find the whole story very interesting. Halle Berry was on an Instagram Live, which is basically just, you know, it's like being on YouTube Live. And someone asked her a question, and she mentioned that she might be in a movie where she portrays a transgender. She was thinking about the role. I do not believe the movie has been made, or it's not like official or anything. It was just an idea of something she might.
It was in the trades, a rumor. Yeah.
You get it, Hal. You've been in the biz before. You've had a couple projects in the air. That
you read it in Variety.
They don't work out, but they're a possibility.
I sold an option or two.
Big shot. But anyway, so Halle Berry threw it out there, and then she had to apologize for saying she might play a man or a woman who transitions into a man because she should not be portraying people because she's a cisgendered woman and transgender roles should only be played by transgenders. Even though she did not play one of these roles, she just talked about the idea that she might.
Well, we have to cancel Forrest Gump because he played a mentally challenged person and only mentally challenged people should play mentally challenged people.
This is a whole... We could do a whole segment on everyone who has to be canceled. I mean, I think Tom Hanks also played an AIDS victim. I don't think AIDS. Yeah,
how about De Niro? De Niro and The Irishman and Goodfellas.
Sean Penn and I Am Sam. He played a mentally challenged person. Who is that guy who played he played a handicapped person last year?
You know what? Let's just do away with fiction entirely. Yes. Every true
Dustin
story
Hoffman,
should be portrayed.
Rain Man.
Dustin Hoffman, Tootsie.
There's two of his big ones.
Done. Done. We just canceled the movie industry.
Well, he played, didn't he play Billy Bathgate, the Dutch Schultz character? And I mean, he wasn't a gangster, so how could a non-gangster play a gangster?
Howie, I don't want you to worry, though, because when we cancel all these movies and we cancel all these TV shows and then we get rid of all the books, you'll still be able to watch Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon on CNN tell you how stupid you are.
I was in a civil action, and I played a talk show host. So I'm okay.
Uncancelable.
You're good. You're good. Yeah, so
how many LGBTQ actors have played straight people in movies?
Yeah, and it's...
Yeah, Rock Hudson comes to mind right off the top of my head, among many others.
It just doesn't make any sense. You're actors. Isn't that, you know, what your trade is? You're supposed to portray things that you're not. That's part of acting. As a thespian, I have played everything from an old woman, an old Irish woman, to a dead cow getting dragged across the stage. I'm not a cow, not in real life. Do I have to apologize to the cows out there for portraying their species and taking away a role that belonged to a real cow?
I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr. You can trust him. He's not like the others.
This is Paul in North Andover, Mass.
This is Luana in Lexington, Massachusetts.
This is Lauren in Augusta, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Unlike home security systems that are so complicated you never use them, SimpliSafe was designed to be easy while protecting your whole home 24/7. Head to SimpliSafeHowie.com and get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will Joe Biden actually debate President Trump?
No, he will not.
51% say no.
All right, guys.
What do you think?
I think no, but I just can't imagine that would be acceptable, especially now that Kanye's in the race. What if he agrees to debate? And then it's Trump versus Kanye, and Joe Biden doesn't show up. It's just not going to be a good look for Joe. The enthusiasm is already pretty low for Uncle Joe Biden. I think he's at least got to show up.
Who do you think, if Kanye really is serious about this, who do you think Kanye hurts more?
Oh, Joe Biden, 100%. They actually, his recent interview, they told him that. They said, you realize you will take away a lot of votes from Joe Biden if you run. And he said, yes, I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that, too.
I am as well.
I thought it was kind of a lame excuse, though, he gave for turning against Trump.
Oh, about the bunker.
He said when the rioters were coming out of Lafayette Park and trying to, you know, break into the White House grounds, the Secret Service moved President Trump down to the bunker. And he said that wasn't a good look. He didn't care for that. I mean, what the hell was he supposed to do?
I don't know if this is true, but I'm hearing a lot of rumblings of people who think this is a little bit of a...
That he's a straw for Trump?
Yes. And if that is true, then Kanye,
I'm okay with that.
I didn't think I could love you anymore, but it could be possible. Guys, if you're thinking of replacing your carpets due to pet stains and odors, you must try Genesis 950 first. It breaks down the bonds and stains, so they're gone from carpets and padding for good. A lot of times your pet will go to the bathroom and then you replace the rug and you want to start fresh. And guess what? They're going to go to the bathroom in that same spot again. So you might as well use something that's going to clean the rug and save you money. Order a gallon direct at Genesis950.com. Mm-hmm. Enter code Howie to get more than $10 in savings. I want to talk about the bird watcher. So everyone remembers this story. Amy Cooper was the Karen at the park.
In the New York metropolitan area, she's known as Central Park Karen.
Central Park Karen. So here's what happened. There was a black man who was bird watching, and she told him she was going to call the police because he asked her to put her dog on a leash. And she said she was going to tell the police that a black man was bothering her. I'm paraphrasing, but that was basically the incident. Right. And she
basically started it by having the dog off the leash.
Which she was not supposed to.
And, you know, the thing is, the dog wasn't vicious or anything. But as everybody knows, a dog scares off birds.
And he's a bird watcher.
And he's a bird watcher. That's what he's in the park to do.
There is no question that the man...
was in the right.
Was in the right. He was 100% in the right. And she looked terrible. She looked racist and she looked obnoxious. So what happened was everyone thought the same thing. Everyone was on this guy's side saying he was trying to bird watch. You didn't have your dog on the leash. And she lost her job. She got canceled. She became basically the most hated person in America.
It got even worse because the New York Post does what all newspapers should do in these situations. They went and they checked the court files to see if she was involved in any lawsuits. You remember this?
Yes.
It turns out, will you explain it then?
Don't do that. Just explain it. I'm trying to make this segment move along here.
She doesn't remember it, but it was the kind of thing you would remember it if you read it. She had been involved with a married man.
Oh, I do remember it.
And the married man had scammed her into giving him like $50,000 or $60,000. And then when she gave him the money, the guy dumped her.
Yes, and
went off with a new girlfriend.
Right.
And knocked up the new girlfriend and left her holding the bag. And so that's not something you would want to have out there on the front page of the New York Post.
Right. So
especially
now,
after you've just been fired and you're looking for a new job.
So now, Howie, they want to open an investigation into Amy Cooper. And the man, the bird watcher, said he's not going to participate in the Manhattan District Attorney's investigation.
Yeah. Remember, the Manhattan District Attorney, Cyrus Vance Jr., is the guy who had audio from the New York City Police Department of Harvey Weinstein admitting that he had attacked a young actress in his hotel downtown.
Right.
And he didn't prosecute him.
So this is what the bird watcher said, whose name is Christian Cooper, which is weird. Both last names are Cooper. He said, on the one hand, she's already paid a steep price. That's not enough of a deterrent to others. Bringing her more misery just seems like piling on. So if the DA feels the need to pursue charges, he should pursue charges, but he can do that without me. I have to say to this guy, Christian Cooper, this is what we need. We need people who say, listen, you made a mistake. I'm glad everybody recognizes you were in the wrong, but we do not have to ruin people's lives.
Her life is already destroyed.
Right.
Where was Cyrus Vance Jr. when he had a chance to go after Harvey Weinstein years and years ago?
And that was the key part of it. It seems like a pile on. This is what they love, these liberals. They love to pile on because it's one person who's not them who they can say, racist. Right. We get it. She looks bad. But let the lady move on with her life.
In her obit, the first line is going to be Central Park Karen. I'm Howie Carr. If you're thinking of replacing your carpets due to pet stains and odors, you must try Genesis 950 first. It breaks down the bonds and stains and odors so they're gone from carpets and padding for good. You can use it in a carpet cleaning machine, and it's green, so it's safe for family and pets. It's the go-to cleaner for when Mr. Gunnar, my 18-year-old pug, has an accident. Before you purchase new carpeting, you must try Genesis 950. New carpeting is expensive. It's a pain. You have to go to a carpeting store. You have to measure it or let somebody in to measure it. You have to buy new padding to put under the carpeting. And then the dog just does it again.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are the odds it's the last time your dog has an accident?
Just deal with it by getting Genesis 950. 1 gallon of industrial strength Genesis 950 makes up to 7 gallons of cleaner, and it's not just for pet stains. It's a disinfectant that kills viruses. It's also great for kitchens, garages, grease stains, wheels, tires, and more. So save yourself the trouble of going to the store and seeing your favorite cleaner sold out again. Genesis 950 is made in America, and as we like to say, buy American, support America. Order a gallon direct at genesis950.com. Enter code Howie to get more than a $10 value in savings, including a spray bottle and free shipping. That's genesis950.com. Enter code Howie.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios,
844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. And as you know, President Trump will be coming to New England on Saturday night. He's going to have a big rally in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, the Seacoast area, and it's going to be quite an event. We're all looking forward to it. And joining us now to talk about it in the campaign is Ronna McDaniel. She runs the Republican National Committee, and her middle name, her maiden name, is Romney. She's the niece of Senator Willard Mitt Romney. Ronna McDaniel, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Always good to be with you, Howie. Thanks for having me.
You think Uncle Mitt will be coming down from his place on Lake Winnipesaukee for the rally on Saturday night?
If he is, I haven't heard about it, but I don't think so.
Well, how do these polls, they don't look good. I mean, we know it's early, and we know people are not inclined to answer truthfully to a poll from a mainstream media outlet. But these are not encouraging numbers that we're seeing, Ronna. Reassure us about the president's chances for reelection.
You know, I have to say I feel much better than what the public polling is saying. And I felt that way when I was Michigan chair, when every single poll had the president losing up until Election Day. They actually called the race for Hillary Clinton in Michigan and had to backtrack. Because of what I'm seeing on the ground, our volunteer efforts, the energy we're seeing, the enthusiasm, we are seeing something like we've never seen before, and I feel like it's not matching what I'm seeing in some of the public polls, but our internal numbers show a very tight race, and the president absolutely in a good position to win in 2020, but it's going to take all hands on deck, and Joe Biden is going to probably have a lot of more outside money and, of course, the media in his pocket, so we're up against a great challenge on that front.
You know, we made the poll question today. Do you think Joe Biden will actually be in a debate against President Trump? The mainstream media, as you pointed out, is increasing drumbeat saying Joe Biden shouldn't debate, and they're inventing all these bogus reasons. What would you tell the Democrats as they plan to keep Joe Biden out of the debates for rather obvious reasons?
I think if you can't debate the president of the United States, then you have no business running for president. It's part of the job of a candidate. You've got to stand in front of the American people and go toe-to-toe and talk about policy. And if you can't do that, how are you going to stand up against a world leader? How are you going to go up against a Putin or a Xi or any of these world leaders that he would have to contend with? Is he that afraid of Donald Trump? Is he that afraid that he's going to make a mistake when he's off prompter? When he doesn't have his handlers nearby? I know they want him in the basement, but I think long-term the American people are going to see through that and say enough is enough, and you've got to get out there and show us why you're running. And if he can't do that, he does not deserve to get anybody's vote.
Someone just from New Hampshire just texted me. I texted Sunday for tickets and still have heard nothing. What is the plan for people to get tickets? Do you know? Have they mailed out the tickets yet?
So they don't mail out tickets. So you go to the website, DonaldJTrump.com, and that you should sign up, and then they'll give you something to print or something for your phone. So I would just sign up again because they don't run out. It's first come, first serve. So when you get to the venue. So yeah. Nobody's turned away, and it's not assigned seating.
So whoever texted in probably just didn't hit the send button or something. Just do it again, and you'll get the response you need. How many people have responded thus far? Do you know?
You know, I don't know, but I know it's been a good amount. Obviously, it's a outdoor venue this time, and I think it can seat about 10,000. And the president is just so excited. And I think this is such a contrast between what the Democrats are saying right now, which is we have to hunker down and we can't live lives as we normally would. And we can't get back to any type of normalcy. And the president's saying we can balance health and safety. There's going to be PPE there and there's going to be sanitization. But we also have to start opening back up this country And part of that is campaigning and getting out his message as to why he deserves a second term as president.
And as you pointed out, the Democrats want to keep the country shut down. Just today, for instance, the governor of New Jersey, the hardest hit state in the nation in terms of deaths per 100,000 population, he announced a mandatory mask order for the entire state. Even as he and Cuomo are bragging about how the infection rate is down, he puts in the mandatory mask order. In Maine, where the president got an electoral vote in 2016, Governor Mills today mm-hmm. issued an executive order requiring businesses to enforce mask wearing. Do you think this is working for the Democrats? I mean, people see in their own lives, they either see fewer people infected or they never knew anybody in the first place who was infected if you're in large, huge parts of the country. And yet the governors of these blue states are becoming ever more draconian as the truth about the pandemic gets out to the people.
Yeah, it is interesting to see the authoritarian overreach of many of these Democrat governors. And they really are taking away the rights and the autonomy of many citizens who are saying, let me be able to make decisions for myself. And I have the information and I need to be able to make decisions for my health and my family. And I think this is something you're seeing from Democrats all over as they've shut down this country. I know my state of Michigan, there's a suit against our governor for her overreach from the legislature because it's just so vast. And they're removing checks and balances. They're removing individual freedoms. And there is a balance. And I think the president is giving good guidelines and safe guidelines that most Americans are following. But there needs to be room for autonomy and people to make decisions in the best interest of their own health.
And Whitmer is even more threatening than Cuomo and Murphy and Baker. You know, I mean, she says, yeah. If you cross her, she says, well, I'll just shut this state back down. I mean, that's basically what she says. You know, you step out of line, she'll stomp on you. I mean, what kind of attitude is that?
Yeah, and she's completely eliminated any type of work with the legislature. It is really frightening. And I think a lot of the American people are pushing back now and saying, we have to get back to work. We can't forego a paycheck. We need our kids to go back to school. Figure out a way to do this in a healthy, safe way. But we cannot stand in a shutdown mode forever. And you're seeing the cases go up, absolutely. But the deaths are still going down. And those are things that need to be talked about as well, because we do have more testing. And we have seen the curve flattened, as the president initially set out to do. And because of his leadership, you have seen not a single American go without a ventilator and the increase in the PPE and the testing. So, but we have to start moving forward and opening up in a safe, healthy way. But Democrats don't want to see that. They want to shut down forever. And there's a part of me that thinks it's political because they want to keep it shut down through the election.
Yeah, I don't think they want to shut down forever, Rona McDaniel. They just threw November 3rd. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Then it's ollie oxen free. Everybody can come out yep. from where they were hiding. Let me play the cut from President Trump about getting people back to school today. Cut four.
We want to reopen the schools. Everybody wants it. The moms want it. The dads want it. The kids want it. It's time to do it. You know, our mortality rate is right now at a level that people don't talk about. But it's down tenfold.
Do you know any parents that don't want their kids to go back to school in the fall, Rona? Because I don't.
I don't. I mean, I'm one of them. I have two teenagers, and I really want them to go back to school. And they want to go back to school. And I said today on a earlier show, you know, my kids went virtual, and so many of the kids got lost in this program, in the system. They stopped logging into the class virtual. It was too hard on the families. We need our kids to learn again. And I want to add to what I said about the Democrats that I think it's political. You know how you know it is? Because when these protests happen and protesters are flooding the streets without masks and they weren't social distancing, they were all silent, the Democrats
right.
were. And of course, now, if there's a peaceful rally, similar free speech type of event, it's a super spreader. And so you can't have it both ways. And I think there's a way to safely open this economy up to campaign and to start getting lives back on track. And we need to do that. And our kids need to come first. We need to get them in the classrooms.
I'll tell you, if I were in the New Jersey media, I would run the story of Governor Murphy today announcing that face masks are mandatory outside. I would illustrate that with the picture of him at the protest march, where he's marching at the head without a mask. So which
exactly.
is it? Masks for thee, but not for me. That's what Murphy is saying. They're all saying the same thing.
Exactly. It is. It's a total double standard. It's standard. It's hypocritical. The media lets them get away with it, and the American people are just so much smarter than that. And we recognize the double standard and the hypocrisy. And, you know, if you're running and jogging away from other people on the street, you shouldn't have to wear a mask. I mean, these are common sense things. Obviously, you're not spreading at that moment. And so if you're social distancing, you know, so many of these things that even the CDC is putting out, Democrat governors are taking further because they like having the control and the power. And it actually is frightening. In my state of Michigan, it's frightening because our governor has completely eliminated any types of checks and balance. And this is not what we should be doing during a pandemic.
Yeah. And what's also frightening is that the legislatures in these states are letting them get away with it. It's almost like they like still getting a paycheck, but having no responsibility for any of these this overreach that the chief executives are engaging in.
Well, that's why the RNC is suing. We sued Governor Newsom for his overreach, and we're suing many of these governors because what they're doing across the board also is unilaterally trying to change the election system and using COVID as an excuse to get rid of things like signature verification and voter ID laws, which have nothing to do with coronavirus, but they're using it as an excuse to derail election integrity. And right now the RNC is in 32 lawsuits across the country because of what Democrats are doing systematically to derail election integrity.
I hope you guys are prepared because I think a lot of people who are Trump supporters feel like he is going to prevail again, but they're worried about this voter fraud that could take place. I mean, we saw it in Michigan in 2016. Remember, they were Jill Stein wanted to have a recount,
yep.
And they started opening the ballot boxes in Detroit. And yeah, there was a lot of election fraud, but it was all in the Democrat precincts, right? So
you have a good memory because I was there. I was in Detroit doing that recount, and 53% of the precincts could not be counted because the poll book did not match the ballot box. I mean, this is frightening what they're doing. I will go down as the most litigious chair in history because we are suing back, and we are not going to let the Democrats derail our election process. And it's the most we've ever fought back, and we're not just on defense, we're on offense. And we need to be paying attention to things that they're doing, like sending live ballots to inactive voters, which California did to 1.5 million voters in L.A. County alone. 1.5 million voters who had moved away or weren't registered. This is rampant with the potential for fraud, and everyone needs to be aware and holding their election officials accountable, up to the governor and the secretary of state.
In Massachusetts, they were even proposing if you were an unenrolled, an independent voter, for the primary, they were going to send you a Democrat, a Republican, and a green ballot, whatever the registered parties were. I mean, the Democrats had to say, you people are out of your minds. Even the Democrats knew they were going too far. But,
yeah.
that's the whole thing. You got to sue. Keep suing them, Marona. Sue.
We're suing, and we're going to push back, and we need... And we're also going to have the largest election day operation of poll watchers that the RNC has ever had, and lawyers. And we're going to be on the ground because it is really frightening what we're seeing Democrats do across the country to derail election integrity. And we're not going to let that happen. And I think it's shameful that the media doesn't hold them accountable for getting rid of common sense safeguards to make sure that the person who's voting is the person who should legally be voting.
Ronna McDaniel, chairman of the Republican National Committee, thanks again for being with us. We always like having you on. I'm Howie Carr.
He didn't come here to be made sport of. Howie Carr.
This is Lynn in sunny Las Vegas.
This is Dan from the Moonbat capital of Jamaica Plain.
This is Gigi in Leominster, Massachusetts, and this is The Howie Carr Show.
One of our New Hampshire texters had a really good point here I hadn't thought of. If colleges in New Hampshire don't have classes this fall, Trump might actually win the state. He only lost the state by 2,700 last time around. And, you know, he talks about buses, but we've talked before. The bigger problem was in those college towns. You subtract those college towns and he wins the state. And Kelly Ayotte is still the Republican U.S. Senator. But the margin, the 2,700 votes that Trump lost by, the 800 or so votes that Kelly Ayotte lost by, they all came out of the college towns. Durham, where UNH is, Hanover, where Dartmouth is, Plymouth, Keene. That's where the margins, and some of those students have since been convicted of double voting. And as well as some other people, but not as many as should have been convicted. By the way, incidentally, just looked this up. This is just a story just posted in the Union Leader in Manchester. Healthcare professionals, Speaker of the House, a Democrat, urge Governor Sununu to order masks for the rally. Huh. Oh, the experts want masks at the Trump rally Saturday night. Well, did these experts ask the mayor and of Boston, the governor of Massachusetts, to require masks for the rioting and looting in late May? I don't think so. But they want Sununu to strictly enforce mask wearing at President Trump's rally in Portsmouth on Saturday night. Frank, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Frank.
Hello, Wayne. How are you, buddy?
Good.
Listen, Wayne, the reason I'm calling...
Wayne, that's my middle name, Wayne. Go ahead, Frank. Go ahead.
Listen, Howie, I'm sorry.
No problem.
Listen, I apologize for that. Listen, Wayne, Howie, the reason I'm calling you is to tell you that the Democratic Party is going to do with to Joe Biden what they did to Bob Mueller. They
Bob
made
who?
Mueller make a fool out of himself.
Bob Mueller. Oh, Bob Mueller. Okay. Well, I mean... Yeah. But why would they want him to make a fool out of himself? Where is he? He's going to be their nominee.
He's going to be their nominee only because with him on top of the ticket, they got a shot to, they figure they got a shot to win the House. That's why they messed with Bernie Sanders, because Bernie Sanders would have been a better candidate than Joe Biden. But
I don't know about that. I don't know. You think Bernie Sanders really would have been ahead? I mean, I think Bernie Sanders, you know, Bernie Sanders thinks he would have won in 2016. I think he might have won, but I don't think he would have won in this year. And that's why they had to get rid of him. They were hysterical. That's why they forced all the other candidates out of the race so that Dementia Joe would be the last man standing, last person standing, I guess you have to say now, in Democrat Party politics. All right. I'm Howie Carr.